This episode of Talking About Practice is made possible by the Civil War. Because if you don't try to break up every once in a while, are you really even trying?
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
You know the drill. Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I'm your co-host, Jero. Alongside me, partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isomeki.
Yo, what's good, party people? Dude, the more I look at that hoodie, it's so good. Just you, Will, for picking out some dope hoodies out there.
This Giants one?
No, sorry, I'm not looking at you.
Yeah. Thanks, dude.
Yeah, I was there when you bought it.
Yeah, because Rudy forgot to bring a hoodie to a Giants game.
Mm-hmm.
Rookie
mistake. A night game, might I add, too.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
Not just a day game, a night game in AT&T Park, Oracle Park, whatever you call that godforsaken place.
That is our resident degenerate, the one, the only, Rudy Vasquez.
20,000 to 1, baby. Let's go!
And we also have our man, fresh off the beat, Stepman Brad.
Yeah! Ready to go.
Wow.
Yeah. Great day in the North State, baby.
All right. Great. Let's day. Talk about it. Okay. But not yet. We'll get to it.
No, definitely not yet.
So much to look forward to.
Yeah, we got a lot going on today. Football's over. Usually it slows down, but not quite yet because we got a lot to get into. We have to cover all that's going on with Ja Morant. We got the North State update, which is going to be fire. We got some things to be proud of going on in the North State right now. We got your news. We got our foreign correspondent. We got Rudy's picks. He's on fire right now.
If we get this all in an hour, y'all should be thanking us.
Yes, that's right.
On your knees.
I'm going to do my best.
Okay.
I'm going to do my best
sure.
to
yeah.
keep us on
so many
schedule
things that can
here
be
today.
Wrong here, but there's so much to get to.
But, man, there's a lot to get to. Obviously, the Ja Morant story is huge right now, but we have to at least start. I know our foreign correspondent's going to get more into it, but shout out to the homie from Chico, Kurt Kitayama.
Boy!
Let's go!
What I've been saying, dude, he's itching. He's going to win this year, and he... Oh, my God.
One more time for Kurt Kitayama.
You know, ready? Hope you guys tuned in last week because, hey, I said it. Sprinkle something on top, and your boy hit, baby. He hit
20,000 to 1 odds to win. Ends up winning Arnold Palmer Classic.
It was plus 5,000 on Friday, plus 300 on Saturday, plus 280 on Sunday. I hit every single one of those live betting.
They didn't believe him at all.
No, not a chance. Not plus 20,000, dude. Come on.
I mean, that was a pretty intense last round of golf.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, and we'll get to it.
Yeah.
We're gonna wait.
Shouts to Kurt. Yeah. Kurt, baby.
We gotta wait for Aaron to get here to dive all the way into it. But we had to start and salute Chico local winning in a giant tournament over the weekend. Yeah, it was incredible. So we said it. We celebrated. We'll celebrate again when Aaron gets here. Couple of housekeeping things. Make sure you go follow us, TBP, Not a Game, on Instagram. We are live right now. You can check us out behind the scenes, see what we're doing. When you're just hearing our voices, now you can see us. So go check that out. Also wanted to just quick reminder, folks, the questions segment has been really popular. I want to thank all the listeners for hitting us up with your questions. Do me a favor and don't make me do the work. And what I mean by that is leave your names out, okay? A gentleman wrote in, said he and all his roommates listen religiously, and then proceeded to explain a lot of things going on in his house that he wanted advice on. And he was like, you can change the names. Nah, bro, you change the names, okay? There's like four different people he lives with. And he's like, I'm not going to be able to keep track of that. I'm definitely going to slip up. And also, just a reminder, if you're writing in and your entire house listens, they're going to know who wrote that letter. Yeah, so
kind of obvious.
I'm going to give you a second chance to go ahead and write back. It was an amazing email. And you can email us if you're still hit me up on my old email. That's fine. That means you're old school listener. If you're new, you can hit us up at talkingaboutpracticeshow@gmail. talkingaboutpracticeshow@gmail. Because I'm getting pretty inundated and it's getting a little confusing if this flip side or if it's whatever. So let's keep it moving. Ja Morant, huh?
Jeez. Yeah, baby.
Oh, it's one thing after another. Yowzers. After another, after another. It's like, dog, like, come on, man. Like, where's your dad? Where's your mom at, bro?
So, well, where's getting him in trouble.
I was going to say, there's a lot of people out there wondering about what they're doing in his their situation that involved his life. Because obviously, he's not a one-man show. There are people around him.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's juicy. It's fun to witness from the sidelines. So it's sad at the same point in time too.
So yeah, let's catch the people up that might not know the story. Ja Morant last week, it came out that there's an incident and police report in which he is accused of beating up a teenager at his house over a basketball game. He and his buddy, and then brandishing a weapon. The very next day, he recorded himself on IG Live in Denver at some club.
That's right.
You were right. Brandishing another weapon, which there's many jokes to be made. Listen, I did not grow up in the hood. I grew up hood adjacent. I spent a lot of time there, but I did not live there. I've met several gangsters. I've seen a lot of guns. I've never seen a gangster hold a gun like that in my entire life. That is one thing I have never witnessed is a gangster with his index and his thumb hold a little .22 up just to show the camera. I've never witnessed that. So that all happened last week. Another report about he and some of his boys showing up to a Finish Line at the mall after his mom had called and said there is a kerfuffle. And Ja was quoted as saying, find out what time, we'll see what time he gets off work towards the security guard. His boy allegedly shoved the security guard. And all this just happened as Ja Morant just got his first signature shoe that's supposed to drop next week or next month. So this is all happening to a superstar in the NBA. And a lot of what you're hearing is, you know, how could you be so dumb? And listen, the memes have been fire.
Amazing.
On point. Dude.
Memes have been fire.
I love the internet for this right here. This is where I love the memes.
Yes. The meme game, it's moments like this that we live for social media.
Yes.
Because when a major social or, pop culture event happens.
There you go.
This is when we flood to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Will Smith slap a year ago. Now we have Ja Morant recording himself on Instagram Live, recording himself. I just want to keep putting that out there. Brandishing a gun in a state in which he does not live.
Right after a game.
Right after these
allegations. Reports
were made public. So there's all different ways you can beat Ja. I do want to keep him in some perspective.
It is low-hanging fruit.
It's low-hanging fruit. The man is 23. But one thing we will not put up with in sports is unearned arrogance and inauthenticity. We do not put up with people we think are faking it, right? Yeah. Russell Wilson, great example. Total opposite direction.
Yes.
he's not pretending to be a thug, except that one time he got cornrows and went out to the club with Richard Sherman wearing an all-black leather vest. But other than that, that's not what he's selling. Ja Morant, on the other hand, seems to be faking the funk.
He's a Cranbrook, man.
he went to private
school.
So, yes, he went to a private school. He had an upbringing with both parents in the house. He grew up in not the hood, in a fairly middle-class neighborhood. And all signs seem to be to point to Ja wants to represent an image that is of the streets, that is hood, that is kind of gangster.
Yeah.
And Jay-Z once said, "We don't believe you. You need more people. We don't believe you, Ja." Okay.
Why? Because there ain't no such thing as a halfway crook.
Oh. Ain't no such thing as a halfway crook. Listen.
That was a good one, dude.
We can't. We can sit here and poke fun at him, and that is a lot of fun, and I think we're doing that to some extent. But obviously, this kid's got a $200 million NBA contract. He's got a signature shoe with Nike. Just got picked up by Powerade. He's got the entire world, you know, by the old...
Cajones.
Cajones down there. Thank you, sir. At 23 years old. But he is perpetrating an image that is not authentic. And I've heard a lot of comparisons to Allen Iverson, and I don't see it. Allen Iverson was that.
I was going to say, yeah, 100%. Yeah,
he's from the streets.
Do not disrespect Allen Iverson in that way right there.
Allen Iverson was not trying to be anybody, and that's why he was so beloved.
His mom was braiding his rose when he was sitting on the bench.
That's correct. That's correct.
Respect.
That is, yep. I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
He's cut from a different cloth. And so I thought those comparisons were pretty unfair. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that was Stephen A. Smith that was comparing him.
I didn't hear Stephen A., but that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure it was.
I just don't think that's a fair comparison, because there was no faking the funk with Allen Iverson, that he was exactly who he is.
He was authentic.
He was authentic. And that's why he was a legend, not just because he was undersized and an absolute beast and took a team that had no business being in the finals up against one of the greatest Lakers teams of all time. That's not why.
Undefeated until they met him.
That's right. The only game the Lakers lost that postseason
was
the Tyronn Lue step-over game.
In L.A.
In L.A., too.
The man went into the Staples Center and did that, and will forever be a legend, and the reason why this show's title exists.
That's correct. That's correct. Ja ain't that yet. And, you know, so, but I do think it's a little unfair. We are all coming from a perspective of predominantly not black people. I'm the only half-black guy in here, and none of us have played professional sports. None of us know what it's like to be in his shoes. So I thought Jalen Rose actually shed some decent light on this. Shout out to our guy, Jalen. I will repeat this every time. Derek and I met him at a Nas concert.
He's our boy. He's
that's
our, boy.
Our guy.
That's our boy. Right
that's there. Our guy. That's he our dapped guy. Us up.
Yes. Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Legendary cool. moment.
Yeah.
I've never washed my hands since.
that was like 6 years ago, so that's disgusting.
I think it was more Derek like eight. I'm not going to lie.
Skin but let's, on, fingers on.
Let's hear from Jalen Rose here.
Please.
I am Ja Morant. Like, you guys have got a chance to see me grow up for public consumption since 1991. And I've been involved in drug raids. I've survived assassination attempts. I've been that undisciplined young person that was trying to figure out how to be famous, how to be successful, and how to change the dynamics of my family. The one thing that young people have to understand, and in Ja Morant's case, when you first get drafted, you go from being a member of the family, a member of the crew, to being the leader, to being the breadwinner. And first and foremost, I hear a lot of people talking about like his family and his crew. When you're the leader, it's on you, because you end up searching that lifestyle. You end up wanting to be down. And what I had to learn is that people come into your life for four reasons: to add, subtract, multiply, or divide. You have to choose wisely.
So I think Jalen shared an interesting perspective there, being that when you become the breadwinner for the entire family and have generational wealth, you do, fair or unfairly, become thrust into a position of leadership within your own family. And so I think that is something that all of us have taken for granted, because none of us have been in that situation to this point.
Not to that extent in any way, shape, or form. I think anyone can think of that, because the amount of money that is coming his way and the impact that he can have with that money on so many more people than just his family, and how many more people are going to be flocking to him that aren't just family, that aren't just friends, that are going to try to claim something else. Coattails, they go far when you get rich.
No doubt.
And people want to get onto them as much as possible. And that is something that, when you get into that position, you have to have that discretion, and you have to be contrite, and you have to be cuts. You can't have everyone.
Yep.
If you try to help everyone, you all suffer.
Yep.
And when you do that, you have to have that in your mindset and realize that your decisions, while you might think you're young, and he is, they have a huger impact than just what they do to you.
For sure. And again, the young man is 23 years old, and obviously this is embarrassing. I hope that he learns from it, he grows from it. And this is going to be a real interesting time for Adam Silver, because has always been really player friendly. But I think you got to drop the hammer. I think you got to suspend him for the rest of the season.
100%.
Because here's the thing that we're not talking about. Pulling a gun on people is no joke. And this man is young, and he has a lot more to lose than most of the people he's probably going to pull a gun on. That is a quick way to get yourself caught up in a situation that there's irreversible damage. You know what I mean? Like, you pull a gun on someone who also has a gun. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's yeah.
They could go one of two ways.
Yeah, 100%.
It's unfortunate right now that we've got to a place where we look at life so nonchalantly, and
yep.
and we think that it's not a big deal, but the impact is forever.
Yes. Yes. Completely. So as much fun as I want to have with the situation, and Lord knows I have, I posted like 20 Ja Morant
Thank
memes
you for that.
On
like,
our TBP
yes,
page
Oh,
today.
There's another one. Oh, wait, this one's better than that one.
They kept getting better.
Yeah, they
were so glorious. And I'm always going to be someone who tries to see the funny in things. But I just think for a second, you know, we're in sensitive times, and it is important to take a look at the broader picture. And I hope this young man figures it out. I hope he gets some folks in his life that can tell him the truth and that'll listen to. This is part of the importance of having veterans on a team that the NBA has nearly done away with because of the veteran minimum and all that. And this is part of the importance. So you can help raise these young boys. You know what I mean?
Every team needs a Udonis Haslem.
Or an Andre Iguodala.
Yep. I mean, they had Iggy.
Yeah.
They did, and they kind of threw him out, it felt like. They didn't want it.
Yeah.
They thought they had to figure their own way. They thought that they had to figure it out. And they're, again, talent and ego together are a nasty breed. We love it, and it can be a terrible downfall as well.
Double-edged sword.
And what Memphis has is that it can be fun if you do it all right, but right now they are in a interesting time to see how they respond. Just not just John Morant, the whole team too, because there is something about that team that leads to, I think, this type of action. And again, like you're saying, no veteran leadership really there. Who is the veteran on that team that we can think of that has that experience and realizing what it's like to grow up with the impact that you have?
Yeah, so. I mean, Steven Adams maybe, but
he's not really.
You can't connect it. There has to be. I mean, it's got to be in the same connection, and Steven Adams doesn't have that connection with those guys, I feel. Obviously, being white and, you know.
From New Zealand.
Yeah, from New Zealand. Yeah. It's a completely different
lifestyle.
And
being a pirate.
Yeah. I mean,
he's a huge
dude, and he can kill everyone probably on that team, but you're not going to connect in that way.
No, you're right.
You're not from the same pathway.
Yeah, 100% right. A couple questions about the Memphis Grizzlies' future. They are currently, I want to say, number two in the NBA, in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
They just lost Brandon Clark with a torn Achilles. Ja's probably not coming back, I would guess. The Grizzlies came out and said he's going to be on the bench indefinitely. And I don't think that you're going to be doing him any good to remove him from the team either. I think the NBA needs to be very careful about this. I think he should be around the team, but I don't think he should be allowed to play NBA playoff game or NBA games right now. And it's not because the Memphis Grizzlies annoy me. And you can go back to last week's episode and get some of my bias there. But I think you have to send a message.
It has to be lasting. It has to be impactful. It has to be one that he feels. And I think suspending him and making him sit behind the bench every single game for the rest of the season is a nice way to just kind of, hey, you can't be here. Look what you're missing out on right now. This is what you have in your hands.
Yeah.
This is right here for you. Watch it, hold it, love it. Don't waste it.
And I think the best case scenario for that situation is going to be that the Memphis Grizzlies go from being the number two seed, dropping all the way down to the number five or number six seed. And having Morant watch this and realize that, like you said, his decisions have an impact, and they are killing his team if that happens.
Doo-doo-tsh, pun intended, with killing.
I was going to say right there.
My
yes.
God.
Killing more than his team.
Right
now.
Yeah.
Yeesh, okay.
Man.
Yeah. Wasn't intended, but I'll take it.
I love the unintended puns.
You know what? Let's stick with you, bro. We can get back to hoops. Let's talk about local hoops.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, we got
this. What's happening in the North State?
Yes, let's do this.
I got you, bro.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
Ah, yes, it's time for the North State Update. I am ready for this. I am ready for this. Want to know why? Because it is playoff time, baby. It is playoff time. Yes, we are in playoffs for high school basketball. PV, Chico, all four teams in action this past week. It was incredible. Let's start off with the Chico High girls. Number 4 ranked, they played against Lincoln. They got the victory. Number 4 team beat number 13, 65-52. Then they hosted again. Let's one more time. That's right. I'll show some love for Chico. And then they faced off at home against Granada. It was a close game. It's a very close game. Unfortunately, Chico lost 59-62. And then Granada went on to lose against the number 9 team, Carruthers. So, didn't make it any further, but a great season for them. An incredible season, especially being behind PV all year long. And actually an untold story that I didn't really talk about much because I didn't really think they were going to be doing much this year. The Chico High boys. I was wrong. I will admit this right now. I was 100% wrong. They got the number 5 seed in the Division 4. They beat the Calaveras 59-56. They went on to play Monterey in Monterey. They beat them 68-57. Burlingame. Burlingame got the victory over the number 1 seed, Head Royce. So guess what? Chico gets a home game. And what do they do with that? They win 50-57. They are in the North State Finals, everybody. The North State Finals. And not only that, but Half Moon Bay got the victory. They beat number 3, Marion Catholic. So, once again, Chico High, number 5, will get a home game for the North State Finals. They win that game. They are in the state finals for the division. Oh, yeah. Sorry, you guys all left, so I was just like, you know.
What night is that?
So that
tomorrow night, right?
It's going to be the 7th, yes. Tomorrow night
tomorrow?
At 7 p.m.
Let's roll.
But wait. But wait, there is more. Not just that game. So let's go on to PV boys. Controversy in this first game. They lost to Whitney 53-55. But there's video evidence that last shot that Whitney had to win the game, the shot clock went out with the ball in their hands that won them the game. If that shot clock had been called, there would have been 2 seconds left on the clock for PV to get the victory. Game was tied 53-53. So they unfortunately got the loss.
Oh, what?
Whitney went on, and Granite Bay beat the number 1 team, so they would have had the home game. Whitney went on to beat them and lost to Vanden, but still, I felt like it was stolen from them.
Oh, it
was a tough way for the Vikings to win or to lose that game. But
I can't imagine that they like allow video replay in high school.
They should, but I can't imagine that.
Yeah,
yeah, they really need to, especially with playoffs, especially with the technology we have. But
give these kids a fighting chance.
It's unfortunate that that's how it ended, but.
All right,
that's how it goes.
How'd our PV ladies do?
PV ladies, they got the number 2 seed in the division 2. They went on and they got the victory against Vista del Lago. Play at home, San Marin. Victory, 53-40. They play against the number 3 team, Monta Vista, and they beat them 50-45. Pleasant Valley girls basketball is going to the North State Finals, and they are hosting as well that game.
There we go, Vikes?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a Viking roar.
Is that bad?
Yelp.
More of like a
It's a Viking horn. You can do that. If we can get a Viking horn, that'd be great. You know,
to rape and pillage.
Anyway, so the Vikings will play number 4 Central. The number 4 Central actually beat the number 1 Marion Catholic, so therefore PV gets the home game for the North State Finals. It's going to be an exciting time here at in Chico tomorrow, 7
Shouts
p.m.
Shouts to Chico and PV getting a team in the finals.
Now, I don't know this for a fact. I don't know how the TV...
Hey! There we go. I love it.
So I don't know this for a fact, but I know I've gone to regular season games over to Fast Eddie's. They have a TV that actually shows the basketball games. I don't know if they're going to have that there, but I would give them a chance. They're a local spot, great food, and they play the games.
Fast Eddie's is Fast Eddie. Fire.
It is. It is really good food.
But if not, go to the game yourself.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go to the game. Yeah, go to the game.
Pick your cheese.
Yeah. If you're PV. Alums, go to your spot. Show out. Exactly. Give these gals and gals some love.
Exactly.
And that game is at what time?
So both games are at 7 p.m. The girls' game, of course, is going to be at PV. Yeah.
Sophie didn't have this tough of a choice. Oof.
Yeah, and then boys is over there at Chico High. I don't know what their gymnasium is called. Okay. But over at PV.
So they're both at 7 p.m.?
Both at 7 p.m., which
Pacific
is unfortunate.
Time.
No.
Yes.
No. Eastern time. Eastern time. Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. 10 Eastern, guys. Then, 10 Eastern. All right.
Well, I have some fans on the East Coast. Yeah. So, we should make it out to Chico. You never know.
No. And so that's the North State update. It's exciting times. And again, we'll talk about Kitty once Aaron gets on. But that was also an exciting time. Great.
Does anyone call him Kitty?
People back in when we were in high school called him Kitty.
Oh.
That was his nickname back in the day.
Chances you're able to find a connection to get him on the show.
I've been trying to get a connection with him. Okay. Like I've been trying to asking him, his old caddies, some of his old friends.
You've been swiping left on Kitty Yama?
They've been ignoring you?
I have not tried that. No. I've gotten nothing from him. So I'm still trying
so
to
So you don't really know him then?
I played against him. That was it. Okay. I didn't really know him that well.
But he went to PV?
He went to Chico.
Oh, okay.
And I also played against him in junior high and AAU. Okay. So.
See, maybe if you went to Chico High, you would have gone
100%
to school with a professional golfer.
Well, I went to school with a professional football player. Two of them, actually.
Who and who?
Jordan Rogers. No, Jordan Rigsby and Jeff
what
Swain.
What team did Jordan Rogers play for?
No. Jeff Swaim played for Tennessee, and then Rigsby played for Carolina, actually.
Okay.
He was an offensive lineman.
John Elway didn't go to your high school, okay? He went to mine.
Dougie Fresh.
Dana Carvey didn't go to your high school. He went to mine.
No. Okay.
Come on, Rudy.
So
Dwight Lowry, Lavelle Hawkins, Dougie Fresh, Doug Martin, Kyle Jensen, Kyle Hoffman.
Come on. Did any of you guys graduate with any of those people?
100%, I did.
Yeah, me and John Olin were tight, baby.
Did I graduate with Dana Carvey? He's like 60, bro.
That was my point. I graduated with both the people that I name dropped.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Real, look at me, Lou.
Well, I mean, if you guys want to start name dropping.
All those guys.
Brad's time to shine right now. Coattails, like I said, they run deep.
Do any of them know you by name?
Yeah.
If they saw you right now, they'd say...
I played basketball with both of those guys.
Okay. You rooted them on, you mean?
No.
You led the chance.
You led the chance.
Started the claps?
You were the first one to high-five them when they were coming off the floor.
Did you wipe their brow as well?
All right.
Hey, listen, we love you.
You're North State.
That's a North State update. Yeah. All right, guys.
Let's go Chico,
that
baby.
That took a turn.
I'm sorry.
And my dad's watching. My goodness.
I mean, come on. Stepman Dad knows what it is around
That was
here.
A beautiful post that you guys had on...
that was from Stepman Dad?
That was Stepman Dad,
You posted that?
He said it to us,
That was almost an actual depiction of what happened in my life,
Wait, but you were actually good at baseball.
Baseball I was actually good at,
I mean, he's our number one star on all softball.
Yeah.
Like, you are. Yeah, you got that there. I was good at running, so nothing to be proud of there, okay? So
I was good at hitting singles.
King singles, yes.
That's right. That's right. Don't you forget.
I think you got one double, though.
I did.
You did hustle
in the playoffs.
On a double,
I really didn't want to run that far. I was exhausted. Anyway, back to the show. Let's not do that. Let's take a little show break. Let's go to the lounge, boys and girls. Let's take a little step into the lounge. That's right, baby girl and baby boy. This is TBP talking about practice. You know how we get down. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, baby. Right here on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Drew, Derek, Rudy, Statman, Brad, all in the building. Our foreign correspondent, Aaron's going to join us momentarily. Our biggest supporter, Statman Dad, is tuning in live, which you could do yourself right now. We are on IG Live. Check us out, TBP, not a game. Follow us, we'll follow you back. Let's give a shout out to our friends over at Baird Roofing Co. For a hole in your roof or a whole new roof, Baird Roofing Company has been serving Butte County for over 30 years. Whether it's an existing structure or a new construction, Baird Roofing Company has got you covered. Ha ha, see what y'all did there.
Mm, puns, delicious.
Love it. More information at BairdRoofingCo.com. You'd also call them at 342-1631.
Couple of new sponsors for the show right there. Shouts to you, our...
Yeah, we've been moving it around a little bit. We appreciate the love. Thank you for the support. And biggest thank you of all, of course, to you, our listeners. We do it for y'all. That's why we're here. And our contractual obligation.
No place we'd rather be.
No place we'd rather be. All right. Let's get you all caught up on what's going on in the world. Derek Kismacki has the news.
Breaking news. Derek Kismacki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Going to keep it short and sweet because we got a lot to get to. And I saw, you know, obviously got to sift through all the important stories to find the one that matters most. And this one hits home to me a little bit. As someone who just flew in from the Great Salt Lake, seen my wonderful sister Erin, who we're going to have on the show very shortly. Flying. I was flying today. And everyone knows flying, if you do it enough times, it becomes very awful. No other way to put it. And I appreciate the fact that I can get across that amount of space in such a short time. So, always appreciative of that fact. And still, you're being packed like sardines in a flying can and being essentially thrown across an extended period of miles. Either way, it's fantastic when you think about it that way. But the whole process is always discomforting. You know, you're in a tight seat. You got somebody next to you, especially on a full flight, which that was today for me.
And you're what, 6'1", 6'2"?
6'1", 6'2". Good. Yeah. So I definitely always got to the aisle seat if possible. That is my first and foremost process when picking out a plane seat. Then I'll find overhead storage if needed. That being said, when you're on a plane, just play by the rules. You want to get there. We want to get this over with as quick as possible. We don't want any problems. We're all in a very fragile and vulnerable state. We're flying in the air. We don't fly. 30,000 feet in the air right now, and you try messing around, I'm going to have problems with you. So keep to your seat, keep your mouth shut, take your snacks and your drinks, and let everyone live their life properly.
Zip it.
100%. Yeah. Kick rocks, if anything else. That being said, doesn't surprise me. A man from Boston decided to play by his own rules today.
Oh.
Not today, the other day, on yesterday, Sunday. My man, on a flight from Boston to good old San Francisco. So, a cross-country flight. This is a long one. You're in here for a long haul. It's about 5-6 hours of your time right there.
Yeah.
You're going to get a meal, probably. So, if you're on the right flight. Everyone loves a good meal on a flight, right? Yeah, I know. My man decided to disarm one of the emergency doors on the plane. As it is in flight.
Oh, my God.
I don't know about you right now. Those doors are on there for a reason. To keep the plane up flying. And I don't know about you, when you're flying, I want to stay flying until I no longer have to fly when I land. But when you try to land when you're not supposed to land, that's bad for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
So my man decided, I'm going to have a little, does not say whether he was intoxicated or not, but I got a feel when you're at the airport, there's always some booze involved, you know? Either way.
Who flies sober?
Hopefully this guy wasn't, because if he was, I question his humanity then. That being said. No, I apologize. It was not a, I'm sorry, not Boston to San Francisco. It was Los Angeles to Boston. I apologize. Still, either way, cross-country flight. And the man's name was Francisco Severo Torres. So my man, Francisco, disarmed again, one of the emergency doors, to which they got a notification from the flight crew. So it gets better, guys. I know we're just thinking, like, guys, just disarmed it. So the flight attendants go and confront Francisco and ask him, did you do this? To which he replied, are there security cameras showing that door? I don't know. I feel like that's usually a clear sign right now That's something's up. Yeah, yeah, that's not the response you expect.
I don't know. What did you see?
Yeah. What can you prove?
Yeah.
That's what matters. Either way, they decided to, you know, get Francisco back to his seat and just try to quench the situation as easy as possible. Francisco didn't want to go easy. Nah, man. Francisco took the hard route. What Francisco did is took a spoon, broke it, and decided to stab one of the flight attendants 3 times in the neck.
Oh, my God.
Luckily, the flight attendant did not die. But either way, you get stabbed in the neck with a broken shiv. Okay? No.
Woo.
So, obviously, we had to get our boy Francisco. Luckily, they did say flight attendants and passengers all helped in to quench this stupidity of a man. So, shouts. I would, too. Come on, man. We're flying. We're all in a vulnerable state, and you decide to pull this stunt? No, Francisco. Straight to jail. Off with the head. All of the above right now. Terrible news right there. Francisco. They said they're going to ban him for United, but I feel like we should ban him
flying,
from flying
in general.
Yeah. You're done. Greyhound for you now, bud.
Put that thumb up, baby, okay?
Yeah, all the airlines need to unite for once and be like, yeah, this dude ain't flying.
There needs to be a no-fly list, and there is one, and he's on that. He should.
He
forever
should
and always.
Agreed.
So, again, when you're up there, no one wants to... the law is fine.
Yeah.
Just follow the rules. Sit in your seat. Buckle up.
Sit down. Watch a movie. Read a book. Or just
go to sleep. All of the above.
Yeah.
It's all you need to do on a flight.
This fool's over here stabbing.
Unlocking doors while we're flying?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Despicable.
That's scary.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
Every single time, there's always a thought in your mind.
Yeah,
whenever you fly, like...
There's some dumb.
This is not supposed to do... We're not supposed to do this.
Yeah.
And we're doing it. It's fantastic that we do it. But when you're... It could go down. I don't know about you. I had that pessimistic thought a lot of times. But, you know, that's my ever-ending doom.
Well, that's the part of life. You just never know.
You never know. Well, Francisco, you're my deadbeat of the week.
Yeah.
So, never again.
He's going to get his eventually, somehow, some way.
And that's the news.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Excellent work, my friend. All right, we talked about it. We got to do it. Hold on.
Oh, wow. Old school.
This is baby JB.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we can play this.
All right, we have to bring on our foreign correspondent. That's how we serenade her every time with some Justin Biebs. Aaron joins the show to talk about our guy, Chico's own, Kurt Kitayama, and the Arnold Palmer Classic. Aaron, wherever you want to start, because yesterday was insane, but the floor is yours. You go wherever you want, and we'll follow you there.
Holy moly, it was a day. And I do feel really bad that as the fourth foreign correspondent, I'm supposed to cover this. So I feel like most of you should chip in. It was a wild day. I mean, it was tied for so much of the last 9 holes. Kuriyama, he... triple bogeyed on the front 9 and then went on to win. That guy has got nerves of steel.
Yes.
Yep,
yes.
100%.
I mean,
yesterday he did, but yeah. Continue. Sorry. Go.
Okay, Rudy. Yeah.
Continue. I'm sorry.
Nerves of steel. I mean, I think at one point, what was it, like 5 or 6 guys were tied at 9 under?
Yeah, only like 3 or 4 holes
eight
left.
Eight under.
Unreal. Just absolutely unreal. The last putt, he needed to 2-putt, and I knew it. What was it, like a 35-foot putt?
It was 35-footer. It was 35-footer.
It was 35 feet? Oh,
okay. Yeah. And he just left it on the rim.
There was no space between there.
No.
Between the hole and the ball.
No. None.
Physically speaking, it should have gone in.
Yeah.
You know, like physics were against
him. He had a 2-putt for $3 million in his first tour win, and he left it sitting right on the rim to just tap it in.
Tap it in for glorious.
Just
glorious.
I bet you he wanted to make sure that no one else was on the green.
Well, yeah, 100%. That's why he put the quarter down and let Hovland finish off.
Well, I mean, that's why he left it short.
No, a birdie on that one.
I think he was trying to win.
Do you think
he did that on purpose?
How tough that course was and how tough it was playing for every one of those guys.
Yeah.
That would have been the icing on the cake. Granted, he got it already, but that would have just been a nice little touch of just like that course was brutal.
Yeah, especially that day. It was windy as all could be.
Sunday was the worst day. Or no, Saturday was the worst.
Yep.
Friday was the best. John Rahm just blew everyone out of the water. And at that point, I was hedging. I was like, oh, God, John Rahm's going to, you know, win again. Yep. And then Saturday came around, he just dropped off. But, yeah, okay, sorry, continue. I keep on interrupting you.
I think it's very appropriate that you guys talk about this. I really feel like I'm stealing your thunder here.
No,
it was so exciting. It was incredible golf to watch.
I think it was just great to see him start off strong like he had and then be able to come in and get his first 56-hole lead and be a, or 54-hole lead and be able to hold that. I think that was a huge piece for him.
Huge.
And to be able to have the struggle like he had on Saturday and then on Friday to triple bogey to drop from being minus 11 to minus 8 and then sit there the rest of the round until that 17th hole really, I think, is going to be a catapult for his career of like, I deserve to be here. I went through this and I was able to come up on top, especially not just a little mini, like a minor tournament. This is Arnold Palmer. This is a huge tournament.
Every heavy hitter was in this tournament.
Again,
and in contention.
Top five non-alcoholic beverage out there.
Yeah, oh, okay. Exactly. 100%.
Yes. Firing on all cylinders for that bad.
Yeah. Day. Yeah. I mean, I don't need to jump to that conclusion where Brad always needs to go of like, is this going to be a dynasty or are they going to win it? It always goes there. It's like, okay, well, now he's on this trajectory to be the greatest of all time. Like, I think we could just sit in the moment and say it was awesome. Listen, the man was in position to two putt for $3 million and he did. It was awesome. Yesterday's tournament was great. Let me just get this in real quick, and I want to ask Aaron specifically if you agree with me here, okay? So,
you know what really grinds my gears?
When you're watching golf and they go to that shot right after they drive and it's just the ball in the air and you have no idea where the ball is going, why are we still shooting golf like that?
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that was amazing camera work seeing that ball fly.
Yeah.
The fact that he was able to hold it in that angle, that's crazy. I don't.
Give
I mean,
that, give me a drone.
That's incredible. No, find
that. Oh yeah, it's incredible. But
they're gonna hit the drone, bro.
It's not helpful for me as watching at home when it's just in the air.
You don't like watching golf, though.
I mean, I will say there is something to be said about seeing the back shot of seeing the ball flight with the track man, and you see where
that
it's going.
Like.
That is nice,
that
no
I
doubt.
Like, but just there is shoot a drone over.
I think it just shows the amazing camera work to be able to keep that ball
it's
at
the
that speed.
Camera
it's insane.
I think we do a camera work like that, but then also have the tracker on the bottom corner.
I would
to
be good with
help.
With,
there we go.
With fans like Jarreau
at the same time.
The exact same time.
There
you
go.
That's a producer in action right there.
Yeah.
Yes. There we go. Very
good
well
job,
produced.
Yeah,
I want that shot out of here entirely.
You're Lone Ranger on that one right now.
You're standing ignorant.
That was
makes no sense. It makes no sense.
You just don't like watching golf, dude. I enjoy that shot.
That was a cool shot. And they did it,
Back to Kitayama. He jumps himself up into the sixth spot in the FedEx Cup's point standings with that win. And he's not too far behind being in the top four either.
I think he's, 14 or 15th in the world right now?
He was 46 going into the tournament.
Yeah,
he's got to be in the top 20 now.
I think he's 14 or 15.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Full swing. Get on it. Okay? Come up to Chico. Talk to Chico Sports, number one radio show. We'll give you all the insights.
We're here.
Kitayama, okay? We know him. Okay? Yeah. We are him,
dude, his nickname is Quadzilla, bro.
All right.
Yep.
Come on. Kitty. It's Kitty.
Kitty and Quadzilla.
Yeah.
He's number 19 right now
19.
In the world.
Wow.
There you
all
go.
Right.
Number 19 in the world. Yep.
All right. So we're obviously all very hyped about Kitayama.
So excited.
But I want to go in another direction with you, Aaron. Did you get to watch any of that John Bones Jones fight?
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. I mean, all minute and a half of it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's so anticlimactic, but it's crazy because I guess he's still the greatest ever.
Yeah. Listen.
Three-year hiatus?
Yet
two?
This man is so good at what he does. He just goes away, goes on a cocaine bender for years, gets into all sorts of trouble, gets out of shape, and comes back and is still the most dominant force I have ever seen inside that sport. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that was... it's not that the fight was anticlimactic, but it was shocking how quickly it ended, in the way that it ended. Everyone was so stunned that within 90 seconds it was over. And everyone was talking about how fat he is. He's got a gut. He's
didn't matter.
About to be. Yeah, it didn't matter.
It was,
didn't make one lick of difference. It was
we were
amazing.
All watching this fight last night, Saturday night, either way, illegally streaming, and there's a nice comment section going on of everyone else, and they're doing some fantastic commentary on it, but I heard a great one. It was John Jello Jones was what they were calling him. I was like, yes, the dude had a little gut on him, but it did not matter. The dude took no damage in that fight.
Yeah.
Zero damage, and was able to finagle his way into getting a choke, choked him out.
A guillotine him
in that fashion and that quick. Again, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
No.
Rick James said it best. Gone was stunned, just absolutely stunned.
His face in that afterwards as he's walking away is priceless.
It was really good.
Yeah. I think he's like, the rest of us, how? Like, how did that happen?
That just happened? What?
John Jones, baby.
A minute 30, minute 40, around there?
Less than 2 minutes.
Yeah. Crazy. Unreal.
So if you paid for it, I hope it was worth it.
Well, Aaron, excellent as always. Looking forward to having you back next week. NHL playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs around the corner. So looking forward to getting a hockey update soon.
Fuck yeah. Aaron is also a massive F1 fan, too, so she loves it down. She's one of ours. She's one of ours.
She's in F1.
I might take that over from Derek.
Yeah, it might happen. Yeah, I can see it happening. She is all about it. I love to see that about it. I love to see that Drive to Survive got another one.
Yep. All right. I love it. All right, Aaron, we will catch up with you next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
Later. Great work by her. All right. Rude Dog, are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Are you sure? You had a pretty good weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Even though you bet the Warriors. Even though it was a good bet at the time, and they should have won that game. They didn't.
Yeah,
but
shout out to the Lakers, baby. Don't need LeBron. That's the key. No LeBron.
Yeah, well, LeBron who?
Rudy!
Today, what the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy.
I'm gambling again!
Every time, dude. I hope everyone listened to your boy last week, because I don't know how many people hit a 20,000-to-1 odd hit, dude. Please, call me, put in the comments. Because they lying to you. Anywho, last week was an epic week, but no one cares about last week. This is a new week, new money. We got the Players' Championship this weekend. And you know what? Your boy's betting again.
Wait, what? No way.
Whoa.
Not a chance. So surprised.
When did this happen?
I thought we changed you.
So this is my strategy for golf betting. I pick four hitters before the tourney starts to get those crazy odds. And then Friday, Saturday, I'm live betting like crazy. Live betting this, live betting that, because you never know. Those four players that I choose might not be playing well. Long story short, these players will. I got, I got Scottie Scheffler at plus 1,000, Patrick Cantlay plus 1,800, and Morikawa, he's due at plus 2,500 as well.
Wow.
And my long shot that I'm going to sprinkle just a tad bit on is two players, Jordan Spieth at plus 3,000 and my boy Ricky Fowler at plus 6,000. Right. So I'm going to drop all those guys in the top 25 as well. So those are my bets for the Players' Championship at – is it Players or Players Open?
The Players' Championship.
Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass, I believe.
Back at TPC?
And then is it or no?
No, Players is at Sawgrass.
Is it at Sawgrass?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm thinking of – wait, is Sawgrass where Waste Management is?
No, that's Scottsdale. TPC Scottsdale.
Okay, never mind.
Gotcha.
All right. I know nothing.
And those are my golf bets and my soccer bets this week. We got the Champions League is back. We got Chelsea at home against Dortmund. I'm going to take them at minus 128.
Fade that one.
To get the win.
Not a chance.
Yeah, please say that because that worked well last week, didn't it?
I'm just saying. I know that Chelsea's fun. It is nothing. Continue,
and then I got PSG at home against Bayern. PSG saved me last week, Saturday, when, what's his name? I forgot.
Mbappe!
Scored in the 92nd minute, baby. And then the Liverpool thrashing.
Woo!
I had a 14 parlay, both of those winning and both overs hit. So, last week was epic week, but no one cares about last week. Listen to my bets this week. I'll be posting bets throughout the week for NBA. And next Monday, I'm going to have my picks for the March Madness, too, for the outright winner.
All right.
So let's get it.
Let's go. All right. Listen to him now. Believe him later on. He hit on that Kitayama. If you put down $100, you'd be up $19,900 right now.
What were we thinking? Crazy. How did we not put
we
like,
all
put, pull together
all 25? Put on 10 bucks.
That would be five grand for all of us.
If we all threw 20 bucks, we'd be sitting large right now.
25 bucks.
Make it a five
point.
Racks each? Yeah. Wow. Wow, we dropped
But Darren did put me, you know, he leveled me down. He goes, bro, you just won $10. You won $2K on $10.
That's
you're right. That's, like,
but you could have won 20.
Shut up, Brad.
That was perfect. That was honestly perfect. Do you want to do F1 or foot and mouth first?
Foot and mouth.
All right.
We teased it. We got to talk about it.
It's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as...
39 was last year, and he could barely, like, throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's foot and mouth.
Wow. My goodness. Holy moly, as Aaron put it so epically, so PC-ly. What a weekend of football we had.
Beautiful.
Now, for everyone who managed, if you're a Manchester United fan, you're probably not anywhere near to be found in this world. Your head's still buried in the sand or some water right now because of the sheer embarrassment that happened on the pitch this Sunday. What a day it was for one of the greatest rivalries in the Premiership, Liverpool. Manchester United met at Anfield, where a Liverpool squad that had been waning, had some troubles, is not where they expected to be, not where they've been for the past year. This is a down year for them, but they've been clawing their way back up ever so slightly. They had a nice showing in the Merseyside Derby against my Evertonians and took us apart, but that's nothing to be said. We're a terrible team right now. They've done their part. They had a tough time in the Champions League, but that doesn't matter. They're moving on properly in the Premier League, and what happens when Manchester United shows up? 7!
That felt good, and that's coming from a Chelsea fan.
This is from an Evertonian as well. As an Evertonian, my goodness, it was a day for football as a thrashing happened, a murder, a butchering, a dismantling of all proportion happened on the field in front of our eyes as we saw a Manchester side get absolutely dejected, torn apart.
In one half, pretty much.
One half.
Yeah, the first goal was scored like in the 42nd minute.
They had the first goal in the first half, and then they had let in six. Six in the second half without one to respond. Not even a consolation prize. Nothing to hold your hat on to. Nothing but except to keep your head in the sand for as long as possible until all life is taken from you because you do not deserve to be on the pitch anymore, Manchester United. That was an embarrassment of all riches right there. As a person who likes to watch this game and to see players put all into it, you did not. You failed in every action in that second half. And it was absolutely beautiful to watch. I'm sorry for Manchester United fans out there. I'm not trying to revel in it. I'm just seeing a team that absolutely should not in any way, shape, or form fall that way. It is a team that wears a badge that has so much honor, so much integrity, so much respect in the game. And you disrespected it that way, the way you played out there. Liverpool, hang your hat. That was something to behold. Mo Salah. Salah! Gakpo! Firmino! Nunez! Two for Salah, two for Gakpo, two for Nunez, one for Firmino.
Everyone scored.
Everyone got some. Everyone ate. Everyone was feasting. And Manchester United, you let that happen. That is something that will live in football lore forever. Lives up with the 5-0 Barcelona thrashing in the Santiago Bernabeu. This is the 7-2 thrashing Manchester United did on Arsenal. But that was an Arsenal squad that was terrible, that was in the junk, and they got two. They got two. You got zero. This is a game that lives in infamy right now in Manchester. And the sackings that were going to happen, it's going to be epic. They're not going to sack Ten Hag, no. This is just one, but it is a huge.
It could be damn near unrecoverable.
It could be, but Ten Hag has been doing great with this team. This is Manchester side that had been rolling. They had been playing fantastic football out there. Rashford had been scoring goals at an utter rate.
Rashford is balling, Davey.
That way in Anfield. People like to say they had a tough schedule. They've been playing a lot of football. But this is Anfield. This is a bitter rival for Manchester United for years. Damn near a century.
They have been fighting back and forth, clawing for being the top contenders of the Premier League. And that's the showing you did in that second half. I can say this with that confidence because I've listened to the Manchester side and how dejected they are about it, and it is tough to see. That was tough to witness as that beatdown happened.
Yeah, did you hear what Gary Neville said? He goes, oh, Liverpool didn't play their best, and then they're like, what? What's 7-0, bro?
7-0. That came out. That's, again, that lives in infamy right there. That will forever be in the shrines of Anfield, and forever they will love it. So, my goodness. I don't know where that passion came from, but I just, you had to when you see that happen in front of your eyes in a team of that nature. You might see that thrashing happen to a team in the bottom half of the table who has nothing out there right now, but this is a Manchester United squad that had been reeling, had been rolling, yeah, and that's what happened.
100%.
That's an embarrassment of all embarrassments, so I have to shine a light on it.
Oh, yeah, and their Twitter account, Manchester United's Twitter account, last week said in the
Eric Ten Hag.
Yeah, journey or whatever begins. The next game they get smashed 7-0.
Tough look, but a beautiful, just a way to put the Premier League on the map once again, and how to highlight such an important fixture, and that all eyes were tuned to, and that's what happened. So if you were watching it, it was tough to watch as a neutral. Just of how tough it was they were out there.
Yeah, and I have to give a shout-out to Al, because I asked him on Friday or Saturday, how do you feel, dude? And he goes, man, we're due for a big loss, so I think Liverpool's going to take this one. But he wasn't expecting it.
I have yet to send anything to them. I will say I'm going to see him in person. I didn't want to put salt on the gaping wound, the beheading that happened out there. I didn't want to do that.
I called him.
You did? Okay.
Of course he didn't answer.
Yeah, no, I can understand.
I wonder why.
Yeah. No, I would not. I
was just
going to
answer the phone just laughing, just hanging
out. No, see, exactly.
Yeah,
you are the
you're
worst.
A bad dude. Yeah,
I am. He loves to do guy. That. Yes, and I respected him because I can understand that's an embarrassment that is just, it's tough to take.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to give, if those of you are rolling with me in my Evertonian quest right now, it's a tough day. It's still tough. A 2-2 against Nottingham Forest, a game that we should have gotten all 3 points, but yet again, we sit in the 18th spot with chances. We definitely have a chance. Yeah. The season is not over. There are definitely points to be won. But again, this is a tough team to watch as they fight, though. Better than Manchester United, though. That is for sure. So, foot and mouth. I hope you enjoyed it. Except for Manchester United.
It's not fun.
No. There's no fun in life. No. No more.
No joy.
Do you want to, without the job, just tell us what happened in F1 real
quick?
Yes.
Formula One did return this week. And as I did say, Erin is going to be a huge fan. She probably will take it over, and I will rightfully let her have it because I love to see her passion she's having for it. She really is enjoying it. And Formula One is such an exciting time, and it is a great time to get involved because the season is just starting and there's racing to be had. So it started off in Bahrain with the favorites of Red Bull and Ferrari facing off. Mercedes, yet again, a car that they're unsure of this year, and it's shown again. But the highlights of the week, you got to give a shout out to Aston Martin and the man, Fernando Alonso, the veteran of 22 years, found himself in the third place on the podium in the first race of this 2023 season. I'm sorry. It was won by Max Verstappen. He did win it from pole position. Followed
I'm tired of that guy. Get him out of
everyone
here.
Everyone. He was minus 125 to win.
Let's get him out of here.
No one wants to see those odds.
But got to give a shout out to our Mr. Mexican Minister of Defense, Checo. That is our man. Took himself a second place, so Red Bull took the top two spots, as they did take out the top two places in the grid as well. So Red Bull is a team to beat. Ferrari, Charles Leclerc, tough day. Engine failure for him. He did not complete the race. Sainz, though, got himself a nice fourth position. Hamilton came in fifth with a brilliant drive by Lance Stroll, who broke his wrist a week ago.
Oh, wow.
And finished seventh to break up that Mercedes duo with Russell behind him in eighth.
Damn.
So shouts to Lance Stroll. A man that was giving a little shade to because he is a guy who got his seat because his dad owns the team. Which, you know what? That's not a bad way to do it. If you can get it, do it.
Yeah.
Because it's might as well.
I wish my... No, fuck it. But shout out to McLaren getting in last place.
Now, if you want to try and find something to hang your hat on to, we do have finally an American driver out there right now. Mr. Sargent is driving for Williams, and he did have himself a day. He was able to complete that race. Did not finish within the points, but still.
I think he finished mid-pack, right?
He wasn't last.
Yeah. He wasn't last.
And he was not last in the actual cars that finished, too. Yeah. The man had himself a day. I cannot remember his actual placing, but Sargent is your man if you need an American to report.